At Mosaic House Church, we love to learn scripture together. So every week we have a memory verse that we try to learn together. So last week, Pastor Ann brought us a message on new beginnings from the book of Joshua. And we'll show the verse from last week, please, and see if we remembered it. Did you guys remember it? Yes, okay. I heard it's a confident yes, no hesitation. Okay, if it's true, let's do it together then. What's the first blank? Nine. Okay, good. Okay, what's the second blank? Commanded. Good. Third blank. Strong and nice. Okay, that's obvious. Okay, you gotta be. Okay, what's the next blank? Okay, discouraged. Oh, wow, you guys did memorize it. Okay, let's do it together, starting with the verse. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1, verse 9. That's wonderful. And this week, we're actually going to talk about Sabbath rest. I think Pastor Victor's going to come back next week, and we're going to go back to the book of Mark. But we're going to take a little rest from Mark. Well, I guess we haven't got back to Mark yet. We'll keep resting from Mark, because we were in November we did Mark. But here's the verse for this week, one of my favorite verses of the Bible, actually. Let's read it together, starting with the reference. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeah, amen. So children and kids, you are now dismissed for Kids House. So we will continue Jesus on the Move. We're going through the book of Mark for as long as it takes us. Hopefully, by God's grace, next week. And next week, there'll be two stories about Jesus while he was on, what he was doing on a Sabbath day. And we'll kind of explore that more. But to get us ready for that, we're going to look at the beginning of Sabbath, or Shabbat, and rest. Now, when I just graduated from university, that was a little while ago now, I went to the King's University. Any King's students still here? Okay. Oh, pass. Oh, King's alumni. King's alumni are current students. Okay, there's a few. I took an environmental studies degree, and I couldn't find a job. Look at that. So I was trying to get a job at Safeway, but they wouldn't even take me. So eventually I started working at a place called The Mustard Seed, and I worked there for 12 years, actually. It was really, really great. But when I started there, I was anxious because I didn't have a lot of money, so I wanted to work hard, but also I loved the work so much, I felt like this is my calling in life, and I put my heart and soul into it. But I didn't know how to rest. So Monday to Friday, this is my schedule. I worked a day shift, 8 hours a day, Monday to Friday, and every night after, I was involved in a church ministry. Monday had a Bible study. Tuesday, I would go to the Young Offenders Center, the Edmonton jail for youth, and do a Bible study there. Wednesday, I had house church. I was at Mosaic House at the time. Thursday, I had soccer. Thursday, soccer, and then Friday night, no, I didn't work a Friday in the day. I worked a night shift on Friday. I worked a night shift on Saturday, And then Sunday, after I worked all Saturday, went to church. Then I read another Bible study on Sunday afternoon. And then I went to night shift again. No, that was my day off, technically. And then I would work again on Monday morning. Oh, and then Sunday night, sometimes I would go to prison to do a sports program. Now, is that busy? Okay, really? Is that busy? I don't know. You guys are pretty busy here, okay? I didn't have kids, so I don't know if that's busy, okay? But it was kind of busy, okay? And it was burning me out. But I thought, no, this is for you, God. This is how I serve you. This is supposed to be what I'm supposed to, you know, give so much. If God says, give, and it'll be given unto you. If I give my whole heart, God will give back to me. But slowly and quietly, I was hearing God tell me, slow down. What are you doing? You're doing a lot of things for me. But do you even know me? I know you love me, but do you know how much I love you? Why are you working so hard? But guess what? I wouldn't listen. Typical me. And so God gave me a lesson. I was at Sunday night. I decided to go to the prison to play dodgeball. And the kids are awesome. There's no problems at all. It's a great ministry. But I was leading a team of people from King's University, and there's one guy. We had a little good competition, but I wanted to beat him at dodgeball. I'm like, I'm going to get you. I even know his name right now. He's a good guy, yeah, but like, I'm going to get you, Tyler Latane. I don't even know why I remember his full name. Sorry, Tyler. You were great. But we were playing dodgeball, and his team was winning. Oh, it's him versus me. His team was winning. No, I have to beat him. So it was just me and him left on. No, there's a few others, but I saw a ball. He had a ball, and we're like, bring it. Come on. So it was me and him. We're going to run at each other and throw the ball at each other, right? So I was running pretty fast, and my plan was I'm going to fake a throw, then roll, and then hit him, right? Of course, that's what you do. So what I did was I ran so fast, I did my roll. I was going to do a side roll, but I don't remember this, but I literally did a front flip in the air and landed it. I'm not even kidding, okay? But in the process, I blacked out. So as I jumped, either my head hit the floor as I flipped, or in my roll, I hit my knee hit my head. I don't know what happened. Nobody saw it, but it was like, whoa, that's so cool. But as I rolled, he just threw it straight at me, and I didn't move, really. I just rolled in the same direction. It hit me right in my butt, and I'm like, I literally blacked out. What happened? And he looks at me, you're out. Okay. And the world started shaking, and I couldn't see straight, and I was going black in and out. I was like, I couldn't think straight. And I couldn't drive, really. And I found out I had a severe concussion. Now, that was probably my third or fourth concussion in my life. I kind of grew up really sports-focused. But that was a bad one. And during the time, they didn't know. Like, there's a new concussion protocol where you're supposed to do stuff to help your brain, but they didn't know that back then, so they said, oh, basically just be dark for, like, months. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll be dark. So I sat in the dark, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't watch TV. My mind wouldn't work. I couldn't read. I couldn't remember things. I was just so, you know, that brain fog they talk about? I had really bad brain fog, and of course, I couldn't work, could I? So for a month, I was just laying there in this forced rest. And it was so hard. Like, the head stuff was good, was hard, but I was so used to being busy all the time for God. And now I couldn't do anything. And that's when God kept telling me, okay, I did this, sorry, you're going to rest. You're going to do nothing and learn to love me without working so hard and learn that I love you. And that's the whole purpose of Sabbath, is taking time from our work to experience and know the love and grace of God in Jesus. That no matter what we do, God will always love us. And no matter what happens in this world or how hard you work, God will always be there providing what you need, taking care of your needs, and all we have to do is trust in Him. So today we're going to explore this theme of Sabbath rest, and we're going to look at the beginning of Sabbath. And if you have your sermon notes, you can turn with me. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 1 all the way to 31, and I'm going to have my friend Jonah come up. Is that okay?
Sure.
What did I tell you?
You told me 13.
Oh, yes, sorry, 13, yes. You're right. I was testing you. You memorized it. Good job. No. This is Jonah, everybody. Just got recently married. Yeah, Brianna, and is also part of our preacher's cohort where we train young people, or anybody, to be leaders and also to bring the sermon or the message of God's good news to us and to serve in our church. And he's a great guy, so thank you, Jonah. Please bring us the word.
Exodus 13, or 16, 13 to 31. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded of you. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as you can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, when they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to them, or said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you the bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name Manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jonah. Let us pray together. Dear Lord God, thank you for the gift of work. Thank you that you've enabled us to work. that everything, even our intelligence, our mind, our body, our ability comes from you. And through that, we can enjoy your gifts of creation. But Lord, forgive us when work becomes a distraction from you. We focus our time, our energy, our heart and soul into our ability, our power, our gifts, rather than you, the gift giver. So Lord, by Holy Spirit, reveal what's in our heart today so that we may draw closer to you and trust you and love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in the gracious and loving name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this is what I believe God wants us to know today. You could write this in your sermon notes. Jesus gives us the rest we need so that we don't need to work restlessly. The great African theologian Augustine once said, "Our hearts are made for you, O God, and they are restless until they find rest in God." As we are made to rest, to delight in, to relish the presence of God, and when our lives are not in his presence, we become restless. And in the context of work, the same thing rings true. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. And when I was trying so hard to work for God, I was very restless. My mind, my body, my soul was drained. I was tired all the time, and I didn't even drink coffee then. I don't know how I did it. I was so tired. I was restless, hoping to find God's rest. But I couldn't find it there. Jesus gives us the rest we need so that we don't need to work restlessly. Now, it should be said first, work is a good thing given to us by God. In this story, God provides for his people, and it doesn't just appear in their hand. The manna fell from heaven, the quail came down, and he encourages the people to work. You still got to butcher the quail. You can't just bite into it without doing stuff first. They still have to work. Work is a gift from God, and it is good in many ways. And this is one way it's good. You can write this in your notes. Work can give us an identity. It creates character, and it gives us security. Now, when I worked at the Mustard Seed for all that time, there was a sense of identity that came with it. Back then, you know those lanyards? Does anybody still have lanyards? Like where your keys are, there's like a little clothy thing where you can, you know what I'm talking about, right? But they have it has a mustard seed on it. When people saw that, oh, you work at the mustard seed, you must be a good person. Because it is a hard job, kind of walking alongside people living in poverty and homelessness. And for a while, like, yeah, I work at the mustard seed. It's part of who I am. It also creates character. Work is designed by God, one, to enhance our skills, give us a sense of independence, a sense of mastery to grow, and also along the way, it tests who we are. There's conflict. We got to get up early in the morning. There's problems we got to solve. And if work is kind of connected with in a good way, it's meant to develop us into human beings who God designed us to be. And working at the mustard seed, I really developed compassion and patience. I also learned a lot about myself and learned that, and this is after I was going up, I was getting there, but I learned that a lot of my life was always caring for people without taking care of myself. And there's a mantra at the mustard seed, they say, you can't help people unless you first care for yourself. You can't love people unless you first love yourself. And I didn't think that was true. Like, no, I can love people, but no. If I keep giving all the love away and not giving to myself, it doesn't work. And actually, the more I turn to love myself, the more I could love other people, and the more I became more like God, who wanted the person God wanted you to be. And finally, work also gives us a sense of security. Especially in this society, you need money, right? Yeah, it's life, unfortunately. And when we work, hopefully you work at a job which is fair to you, you can gain some security in life through your bank accounts, through investments, and able to provide for your needs. And when I say work, I don't mean that it's not just a paycheck, but work, especially in the biblical definition, is where God calls you to be. Colossians 3, 23 to 24 says this. You can read it in your notes. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance for you that serve the Lord. Whatever you are called to do, even though it doesn't feel like it's ministry or for God, whatever we do, whether it be sweeping floors, whether it be wiping down toilets, whether it be data entry, whether it be on your computer all day doing computer things, whatever you do, it could be all pleasing and good to the Lord. Because through it, even though it's tough at times, God can tell you who you are. God can create a new character. And also, God can be glorified as you are a follower of Him in whatever workplace you are called to do. Now, back to the story. Israel, the people of God, are in the wilderness, and they had just left one of the greatest empires of the world, Egypt. And probably even worse than the Industrial Revolution, they had been slaves, working for Egypt probably 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. And if you know the story, God saw the plight of His people Israel, and He used a man named Moses, we met in the story, to show the power of God through these miraculous signs and wonders. And eventually, Egypt let Israel go. And that was really hard for them because that was probably one of their main sources of economic wealth and security. Oh, yeah, you can just go. It's like as if Alberta just like, okay, right now we're not using any oil ever again. That'd be very hard for Egypt to do. You can go. But God, in His power, allowed it to happen. And then He led them into the wilderness and told them to trust in Him. He told them, you will not have to work like Egypt anymore. Just trust in me. And God promises people that He will provide their needs. And, you know, they were a little cranky at first because it is the wilderness. So God gave them bread in the morning, this manna, and quail meat in the evening. Now, I'm not sure why it's quail, but you know what I heard? Like, I want to go have some quail eggs at a restaurant. You know, it's probably a fancy restaurant. God didn't just give them regular chicken. He gave them high-class quail because He loves His people. Or maybe that was normal back then. I don't know. Who knows? But let's go back to Exodus chapter 16, starting in 15b. Let's read some of the story again. It says here, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. Now, this was tough for Israel. First off, they are in the wilderness, and there's no food around to eat, literally. And, you know, they're walking all day, so they're getting hungry. And in the wilderness, typically, you need to work just to survive. But God tells them to work less. That would be tough. I could imagine myself walking in the wilderness just looking for, if there's a worm, I want to get that worm. It's mine. Or, you know, I guess back in the day, they ate crickets and locusts. You know, and if you go to Jasper Banff, you get those chocolate crickets or whatever they're called. Yeah, but I guess it's a delicacy. Back then, you're just like, oh, there's a cricket, that's mine. But God said, no, you're not working. We're just going to stroll in the wilderness. And even the Bible says their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They were just told, don't work. Don't scavenge. You see a raspberry there? No. Trust in me. That would be tough. But God had a plan. God sent them into the wilderness to grow their trust in him. And often the Bible uses the image of the wilderness to symbolize hard times in our lives. The wilderness is a place for trials, and it's a time to grow our trust in God. Because when things are going well, it's easy to say we trust in God. When our bank accounts are full, when our children, our family are doing well, when the economy is good, it's kind of easier to say, oh, God is good. He is our security. There's food in our fridge, yes. But when we take that away, when the price of groceries gets higher and higher and higher, and then there's a sale, and then it goes higher, then it's a sale, then it goes higher, when that happens, we may feel uncomfortable, and maybe we realize we've trusted in our bank account for our security more than we thought. But when you are in the wilderness, you have no choice to trust in God for everything. Sometimes in our hardest moments, God asks us to rest in him, even when every ounce of our being tells us to do something. I gotta do something. We want to stay in control and weren't work things out for ourselves. Now, when I was in the darkness in my room doing nothing, I wasn't getting paid. I was only a casual worker there. Even though I worked 60 hours, I was still casual. So I didn't get any funding. I don't think I even had EI at the time. It was just for a month, but I didn't know it was a month. It could have been a long time. I was there doing nothing as my bank account went lower and lower and lower. And then maybe got like $5 from my mom. Ha! And then lower and lower and lower. Okay, I'm busy because my mom was working 5 jobs at the time too when I was growing up. Okay? Because she had bills to pay. So I just, it's a Filipino way too. Okay. Anyway. And actually, we found out, doctor, I had post-concussion syndrome. Have you guys heard of that? Post-concussion syndrome, where you still have lingering effects. I had it for 3 years. I wasn't sure if I could go back to who I was. And those times, I'm like, Lord, I gotta work. I gotta pay the bills. I'm gonna go find a job. And I get up and I, where am I? I get up and I go to apply for a computer application. I can't even read the application. What is my name? I don't remember. It was hard. Now, back to the story of Israel. The second problem for Israel is that they had been working hard in Egypt for 400 years. They were so used to working hard, like me. They just couldn't help it. They were slaves, and I don't think they had a labor day or a long weekend, if you know what I mean. They were so accustomed to endless work, and Exodus says they were slaves building the storehouses of Egypt. They weren't even slaves doing, I guess, they're not even doing what they needed right now. They were slaves making storehouses for the time when Egypt will get more stuff. They were building more storehouses so that Egypt could build and grow more grain so that they could increase the quotas and increase the work even more. It was very busy in Egypt, and there was never enough storehouses, enough grain, never enough hours in a day. And when you come from that kind of way of being, it's very hard to realize that God is enough and that there is more than enough in the world. You can write this in your notes. Egypt, and I wouldn't say just Egypt, the country, but all kind of empires, big, powerful nations, are usually about scarcity. There's not enough, so let's work harder. There's not enough, let's get more taxes. There's not enough, let's develop more stuff. Let's bring in more companies. But the God of Israel was and is all about abundance. Let's go back to the story. Verse 18 says this. And when, after the Israelites kind of said, some would gather little, some would gather much, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Now, that would be kind of annoying, wouldn't it be? Like, let's say you were going to let's go talk about our potluck after. We'll eat together, and you go through the line three times. You fill up your plate, you add another plate, you go, and you sit at the table, and the one person that even just barely made it in has the same amount of food as you. Like, what? No, I'm hungry, I'll get more. No matter how hard you work, it'd be like an employee, you're working 60 hours a week, and you're working your butt off, and this guy just came in one day a week, and you both look at your bank account exactly the same. That's weird, isn't it? Our society says, the harder you work, the more you should get, right? The harder you work, it could be maybe translated or interpreted, the better you are. The better you should be in society. Work hard. Build a bank account. Build wealth. Enjoy life. Save. Invest. And then you will be at the top. God is saying, because that's what Egypt was like. If you got to, maybe you can get a slave. You got to work hard. You got to please the bosses. You got to, maybe you won't be a slave in the mud pits. Maybe you'll be a slave in the house serving grapes to the rich people. At least that's better. Work at it. Climb up to the top. The more you work, the better you'll be. But God is saying here, no. No matter how much you work, I will give you the same. No matter how much Israel worked, God provided equally. The one who worked hard and the one who worked little got just enough food. There's a book by a guy named Brueggemann that said Sabbath as Resistance. And he argues that society is all about, and I think it's maybe changed a bit lately. I think the new generation has been good. I think they all want to be influencers. And you can't really work hard to be influenced. You just kind of influence things, right? But I don't know. But maybe that's, I don't know. There's something to that. Like, in my generation, you work hard. You, like, work, and then you get big. It's this rat race. You got to survive. You got to, and you can't think about others. You got to think about yourself, and you'll be rewarded in society. But God is countering this culture of busyness. And he is telling Israel that work itself must rest in God's provision. We must trust God more than our ability to work. Now, let me just say, work is not a bad thing. It's good. It's a gift from God. But it becomes a bad thing when we trust in our work and our plans more than God and his plan. Another way to put it is this: working hard is not a bad thing, but it becomes a bad thing when we find most or all of our identity, our security, and our character in our work. God taught Israel to trust him every day for his provision. He told him, don't worry about saving food for tomorrow. I will always give you bread in the morning and quail in the evening. But Israel had a hard time believing that. Being in Egypt, their identity was a slave, the lowest of society. Why would the God of the universe care about them and provide abundantly? Their security was fully invested in the economy of the empire. If the empire was doing good, they would do good. But there was always never enough for them. So you had to work more and build more storehouses to feel secure. And even as they were being led by God by this pillar of fire, they could literally see God back then. They started to complain. And you know what they missed? They missed the food of Egypt. Oh my God, of all things you can miss, you missed the food? Okay, Egyptian food is pretty good. but they missed being filled in their bellies. Even though they were slaves, they said, at least we had a decent food and decent life. Well, I don't think, maybe it was better than the wilderness. It wasn't a decent life, but at least it was secure. They knew what to do every day. Get up, work, get whipped a little bit, and go home. Okay, I guess so, yeah. In the wilderness, you don't know what's going to happen. There's a lion one day, a scorpion another day. We don't know where we're going. There's no direction here, God. At least in Egypt, they gave us some structure. They knew no security other than what Egypt gave them, and they lost their ability. Something in their character was broken. They couldn't trust God completely because they trusted Egypt so much, but God was so different. At least if I got whipped by you, God, I would know you love me. But no, God's like, I want to provide for you. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. You are going to have to trust me. And as humans go, even though God said, don't save any meat or bread for tomorrow, what does Israel do? They're worried about tomorrow, so they put extra bread and meat in their cupboards. Let's go to 16. Chapter 16, verse 19 says, Moses said to him, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Now that, yeah, I'll probably do it myself, but the funny part is start to smell, eh? It's like, who kept the bread till morning? You just go to the tent. Oh, yeah, you did. It wasn't hard to figure out who did. So everything was laid bare. God is trying to tell them they don't need to trust their work or an emperor like Egypt anymore. You can trust in me. God is saying, I am your creator. I am your provider. I am the only one that can give you a lasting identity, that can build a new character, and I am the ultimate security. And that's what God is trying to do to Israel. He calls them out of Egypt, gives them a new identity. They're no longer slaves, but children of God, co-workers with God. He tests and molds their character in the wilderness. God is trying to make them more as they are supposed to be. People who trust in God, love him, love others, and he is telling them, trying to tell them again and again, that their security is found in God alone. God will provide all their needs every single day. In order to help them understand this without doubt, he invites them another test, another invitation, by establishing something called the Sabbath, a day of rest where we fully give up our working, our striving, and actively trust in God. And God tells them that on the sixth day, they will work double, save half of it. So work double, keep half, and don't go out to look for food on the Sabbath day, but rest, rejuvenate, prepare for work tomorrow, and thank God for his provisions. Let's go back to the story. Verse 22 says this: on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, the holy Sabbath of the Lord. So bake what you want and boil what you want, save whatever is left over, and keep it until tomorrow." I love that image. And I know my in the CRC, our church, we used to do this pretty intensely. Like, a lot of families with my Oma and Paka, they would bake extra food on Saturday so they could just heat it up the next day. It's kind of an interesting, it's a similar concept where, and like, can you imagine this? Every day you save food, there was maggots and it smelled bad, okay? And on the sixth day, though, you're supposed to save the same food and trust there'll be no maggots or a bad smell in your house, which you probably can't get out for days. Like, oh! And yet, God was faithful. But even with all this, they still failed. Nevertheless, some people went on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. How are you doing in your heart? And when you think of your work, are you feeling restless? Do you find rest in God, or are you just so busy all the time? Or when you do find a time to rest, do you do things which kind of just numb your mind rather than give you some kind of good peace? Just go on social media for hours or on YouTube. Do you have, okay, you can answer, it's okay. Are you able to have intimate time just to be with God? Because sometimes even in our work for God can be against God. We're so busy with church things, with ministry things, we completely miss God. And that's exactly what happened to me. And God was telling me, ask me, are you getting your identity, your character, and security from me or your work for me? And I had to say at that time, it was the work itself. That's what I was wanting. I feel fulfilled by doing the work rather than being fulfilled in God. Now, the grace that God gives us and Israel is in his son, Jesus. Jesus is our rest. Jesus gives us what we need so that we don't need to work restlessly. Unlike Israel, unlike us sometimes, Jesus, when he became a baby and became a human who worked, he's probably a carpenter like his father, Jesus completely rested in the Father. The God who delivered and provided for Israel. He trusted God with the work God had given to him. God gave him a weighty task, but he never strayed away from the path of God and in rest. The Gospels say many times Jesus went out into a lonely, solitary place to be alone with God. His complete identity, his character, and security came from God. And because Jesus is God, he did what we could not. And as the risen Christ, he is our rest. He gives us peace. Jesus gives us the rest we need so that we don't need to work restlessly. And the image that Exodus 16 uses is also an image used to describe who Jesus is. In John chapter 6, we have here a story of Jesus, starting in verse 32. And John is really well known for the I am statement, stating who Jesus is. And he says here in verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Verily, truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It's interesting that when the Israelites saw this bread from heaven coming, they called it manna, which literally means, what is it? The true manna from heaven is Jesus. The one who quenches our deepest thirst, our deepest hunger. You can write this in your notes. Just as God provided bread from heaven to fill Israel's need, God sent Jesus, the bread of heaven, to fill our spiritual needs. Because of our continual grumbling against God, like Israel, because of our sin, turning away from trusting in God, we were separated from him and spiritually dead. And just like God delivered Israel out of Egypt, Jesus sets us free from the slavery of sin and death. And Jesus, the bread of life, is the same image that we feel and taste every time we take in communion. Jesus was the bread given to us, his body broken on the cross so that we could have life. We were slaves, lost in the wilderness. We could never work hard enough to reach God, so Jesus worked for us. He entered into the ultimate wilderness, which is death, took on sin himself, died for the forgiveness of our sins, but raised to life by the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus himself, through his Spirit, lives in us so that we can have a relationship with God. So we can have rest from our constant trying to reach to God, trying to be a better person, and just trust him completely. Our lives, our health, our bills, and even our death. We can trust God because he is trustworthy. So I encourage you, are you restless? Are you working too much? Or do you hate your job? Are you looking for a job or a calling from God? Rest in Jesus, the risen one. Jesus gives us the rest we need so that we don't need to work restlessly. Let me end with an application. Rest in Jesus. And that means trust, don't try, and don't make Sabbath a kind of work. When we rest in Jesus, it's not about just like sleeping all day in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, I'm going to sleep. But it's basically changing our attitude from trusting in ourself or trying and resting that God has accomplished already in Christ. At the core of my working hard, I was trying hard to earn God's love, to make up for all the sins I committed. Jesus saying, I've already forgiven you. Just trust in me. The second one is, don't make Sabbath a kind of work. In our zeal to follow God, we think, I want to do all these things for God. Read the Bible, pray, and do Sabbath. The point of the Bible isn't to have a list of things to please God, but out of our love for God who has given everything for us, we can just say, thank you, God. I want to know you more. I delight in spending these hours with you, knowing you more, trusting you more, and stop working knowing that you will provide my needs. It's you who puts food on the table and takes care of us. Jesus gives us the rest we need so that we don't need to work restlessly. And when I finally was wrestling with God and finally just rested in him. A month after, I was offered a new job at the mustard seed, a new position, full-time with benefits, which actually was better for my skill set. And I did the interview while I was still really woozy, so I couldn't prepare for the interview, okay? I was like, okay, if this is you, God, I have to trust in you. I cannot try at all. And I got it because God provided for my needs, and he will provide everything we need. Now, to end, let's just read these words from Jesus. This is our memory verse for today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is an invitation for all of us. Let's say it together. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you came down from heaven to be broken. Your body was broken for us, so we don't need to trust in ourselves anymore. And work can be a joyful thing, knowing that we're doing it for you, whatever we're doing. And also, Exodus reminds us, you don't just provide for our spiritual needs, which is foremost, you also take care of our daily needs. Help us to trust you in all that we have, so the world will know that you are the true and gracious God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.